If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, listeners. You're listening to the Fluent Mind ESL podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Jack, and my name is Sochal. And today we're going to be discussing Harry Potter, the series of books, and whether or not Harry Potter should be considered a classic. Jack, what is your opinion?
Yeah, so I think that, whether something becomes a classic or not, I mean, I guess, time will tell, right? Because a classic is, 100 years from now, people are still going to be reading and telling those stories. It'll be, as if it always existed. You know what I mean? Like it kind of, you'd never even think about like a pre-Harry Potter time. It's just something that kids will kind of grow up thinking that it's always been around,
Right, like the Ghost of Christmas Past or Goldilocks or
Yeah,
all.
exactly. Like, yeah, just like, yeah, exactly. Like Goldilocks, nobody
No, why
knows.
fairy tales? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, all the fairy tales, Grimm's, tales. And I just think like, Harry Potter, I think it's pretty obvious that like it will be, if it's not already a classic, it will definitely be considered a classic, a children's classic. I think it's still, but I think with all classics, I don't think it was necessarily written just for children, with the, well, I think J.K. Rowling did write it for children. I think she wrote it for her own children, if I'm not mistaken. It was like a story that she was telling her kids. But with like all classics, you end up, most of the people that I knew that were reading Harry Potter were in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. You know what I mean? It wasn't kids. It was adults that were reading these books and they were completely engaged in them. And so I think that's like a sign of a classic, is that it may have been written with the intention of being a kid's book, but it's not. It's for everybody. If you like reading, if you're into fantasy, then just like Lord of the Rings, a lot of people will dismiss it as like a kid's book, but I think Tolkien was, writing it for everybody, And so I don't know. What do you think about that? Like, do you think it's a kid's book or do you think it's like,
I think
for
it's a
everybody?
Classic, and classics can be children's literature, like Goldilocks, Red Riding Hood, Snow White, but I think they can be appreciated by everyone. And I remember my dad, I guess he was in his 30s and 40s when he read The Lord of the Rings to us. He read Harry Potter to us, both of those when we were little children. I still remember he would call Hermione Hermione. I don't know where he got that pronunciation.
Hermione.
But I actually got in a fight with a kid in kindergarten because I said it's not Hermione, it's Hermione, only to be miserably wrong.
That's the worst, because your dad's just like, he's the expert, like he wouldn't lead me the wrong way,
And he's such a smart guy. It's like crazy that, I mean, I think it's just because it's like such an uncommon name for us in the U.S.
Yeah, and so it's got a weird pronunciation, weird spelling, so yeah.
Yeah,
Hermione. Hermione is not as pretty as Hermione.
Hermione is gonna become a meme now. But so I think it definitely had a classic's place, and people saw the vision, which is why it became such a viral before viral children's series. The movies. Everything, like even nowadays, they still make Harry Potter makeup. I went to Walmart the other day and there was Profusion Cosmetics made a Harry Potter line, and I bought makeup from because I thought it was so cool. So it's like these, it just has classic scent. And I was in Walmart, you know, and I was looking at something in another aisle, and there was a like a potions kit, and children were like walking by and asking their parents for the Harry Potter potions kit.
Wow.
And so you know, like it still clicks with the youngest generation of children, of little
Because
children on
the actors that made that were in that show in the movie are like in their 40s now or something, you know, 30s or
Yeah,
40s.
they're at least in the 30s, I think.
Yeah,
Like
30s.
the, yeah, the youngest. Yeah, because they were quite a bit older than me, I guess. Yeah. I think it's wild to me. Yeah, but I do think that you know they will be classics because ultimately, a classic is something that, like you said, will be appreciated hundreds of years from now. And that cross-culturally has an impact too. I've seen how popular. I don't know how it is in Korea, Jack. I know it's very popular in Mexico as well, Harry Potter.
Oh yeah,
Is
it's
it
his
pop
pop.
is
Sure. All the kids, all my students know Harry Potter very well. Yeah. If they haven't
Yeah.
read the books, they've at least seen the movies for sure.
Yeah, I think that just pinpoints how and the books and the movies are very different. So for our listeners who have only seen the movies, I highly recommend that you read the books. I'm gonna go back and read the books myself because I think just we have the whole collection of books at my house, but my dad read them to us when I was a child, so I don't think I've ever read them independently. So I definitely would like to do that. But yeah, it's very interesting. I definitely think that it'll be considered a classic, and I think it marks a different time when things that were like children's series and stuff were meant for everyone to enjoy.
Yeah, I think it was less niche, I guess we could say, like at the
It was
time.
less like tar micro targeted to just children and more like family.
Yeah.
Like they used to call it like family movies or family books because like it was something for every like the parents and the children could enjoy at every age group, and there were jokes that would like go above a child's head but were still appropriate enough to be in children's movies, you know, but that would be funnier to adults. Like you see that with all kinds of different, I mean,
Oh,
Disney movies.
Shrek is a great example of that, you know, because it's got jokes in there that are like, you know, almost dirty, but the kids would never understand it, but the parents are making connections, and so yeah, it's just like it's such good writing, you know.
Yeah, my childhood, I feel like, was the last one that really pushed that. We had Harry Potter, Shrek, SpongeBob,
Yeah.
Adventure Time. I feel like maybe your daughter as well, but these youngest generations, like, they don't
Demon K-pop demon slayers or something.
so cringe. And then, wait, I know people my age who watch that, though. I'm like, these. Don't, I can't, I literally can't watch it. Or they like Cocomelon and stuff that's like just for little kids.
Yeah, like Teletubbies or something like that. That was wild
Yeah.
back in the day.
Yeah.
I think I would be remiss if I didn't mention that. I think there is a template for this. There's like telling the story right, the right way, is what Joseph Campbell calls the hero's journey. And it's like anytime like a story follows that path, it's like it hits us like it's very similar to like mimology because it hits us on like a DNA level. Like it transcends culture, it transcends race, you know, it just goes right to, it just cuts to the bone of our humanity. And if I look, I'm just looking at the story circle of that Joseph Campbell outlines in his book, The Hero's Journey. And it, you know, starts with like the characters at home in the ordinary world. And then there's some kind of call to adventure, you know, like the hero has to go do something. And then the next stage is that there's a the hero is scared. It's called the refusal. So there's kind of like a, you know, the hero's given an opportunity to embark on an adventure, but the hero refuses. And then a mentor appears, a helper, and convinces the hero to take a step into the new world, which is crossing the threshold. So that's.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Like the point of no return, you know? The hero has now embarked on the journey, and there's no going back. The hero makes friends along the way, and also enemies. So, I mean, Harry Potter is just hitting all of these, you know what I mean? Malfoy, and then Hermione, and Ron.
Ron was my favorite.
yeah, because it's like in every hero's journey, there's always like the kind of goofy friend, you know, that like throws his hat on the ground and stomps on his hat, you know, and then there's the a big scary test, and then and then once the hero passes the big scary test, there's the treasure, and then the hero returns home. Usually there's one more test beyond that, and then the hero comes home a changed person. And you know that, like the Harry Potter story, when he gets back, he's a totally different person than he was when he left the house in the beginning of that movie or that book.
Yeah. Not only is he a changed person, the entire world has changed because of his life and his journey. And I think there are like little niche things that J.K. Rowling didn't even intend, because she's a controversial figure for sure. But sure. I find that she has even disagreed with certain things that she chose to do in the series. Like, she doesn't think that Ron and Hermione should have ended up together. She thinks like the better literary choice would have been for Harry and Hermione to end up together, for example.
Yeah, that's what I always thought. They, you know, I never understood why Harry
really
didn't end up with Hermione.
I preferred the Ron ending up with Hermione, because I felt like she did these little like micro changes to the typical hero story, where, you know, the two supporting characters to his journey like end up together, and I don't know, it was just more special and unique that way. Because every single like children's book that you read about the main character always ends up with the female main character. It's just very cliche.
Yeah, it's okay, because it doesn't change the trajectory of the hero's journey. You know what I mean? Harry, it's Harry's story. Like he is certainly a changed person when he comes back. You know, like the scales have fallen off of his eyes. You know, and he can never see the world the same way again. You know, and I think that this is true for people too. You know, like for all of us, like we're always on this like some segment of this wheel of the hero's journey is our own life. You know, like you can't go and teach for a year in Korea and then come back and be the same person that you were before you left, you know? But we know plenty of people that have never lived, you know, outside of the city they grew up in, you know? And you know how that mentality and the thinking that goes with people that are scared to cross the threshold and face the monster, you know, because once you overcome that fear and find success, you bring home, if you return home again, you bring something back with you. You know, you're not the same person that you were when you left, you know? And I think that resonates with people on such a molecular level. Like if you tell the story right, it'll become a classic, you know? And Star Wars is another example we'll still be talking about Darth Vader 100 years from now, you know?
Right.
Religions might emerge from these things. You know what I mean? Like there's just no stopping it. It's the momentum is too strong. And Harry Potter is 100% in that same ballpark, you know, in that same basket. As you know, she told the story perfectly. Like she, you know, we're stuck with Harry Potter forever. You know, like it's a classic. There's just no doubt about it.
Just one thing I want to add before we wrap things up here is I feel that every single piece of literature or show, movie, whatever that I've really enjoyed on that same level, the inner world is so rich. Like from the food they eat to the traditions of the holidays to, you know, what the everything there, every little detail is so rich and ties together. And Harry Potter is one of those things that is, I mean, every small detail from like the Dementors to Patronus to eating chocolate to the kind of candies they have at Hogwarts to Butterbeer, like every little thing is so intricate.
It's like it's world building, you know what I mean? She's so good at that, you know? It's like it's not it's it's like yeah, I it's it, you almost feel like it exists. Like it and if you were to live immerse yourself in that world, you know, like you said, like you can I think that even like good writing like that is when you're world building like that, like you know, if you can do what Tolkien does, what J.K. Rowling does, or C.S. Lewis with like the was it The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the Narnia books, yeah, you're almost like letting the audience fill in the blanks, like they understand the rules of the world, you know, like they even if they don't talk about it in the book, you know. Like, oh yeah, that's what a door would look like in Harry Potter book. You know, like you just have
You
a
see
gut
it,
feeling. Yeah, you
huh?
see it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's so deep that you can visualize it and immerse yourself into the world. I think that's something that makes it super unique. And
And that's what the movies actually diminish it, I think. Because I
in a
think, you
way,
know,
yes.
there's just nothing compares to the human creative mind, you know, the imagination. And
That's
so you know, that's why, like you encouraged our listeners to read those books. I think reading them is a richer experience, even visually, because you have your own imagination that will fill in the blanks. But you have such a masterful guide in the writing that, you know, it's going to be a richer experience, even though it sounds counterintuitive. I think it would be in the movies, you're letting someone else kind of visualize it for you. And I think it's a richer experience to do it yourself.
definitely, definitely. So yeah, I think ultimately I do think it's a classic. And
Yep, me too. Yeah.
yeah, I wonder what our students think.
Yeah, absolutely. Let us know and send us. Sorry, I'm supposed to bring us out here.
No.
You keep giving me hints, and I'm just kind of standing here like quietly.
It's
Yeah.
better if we don't edit this out. We let our students see the behind the scenes. Students, we switch roles.
How the sausage is made, you know.
Yeah, we've switched roles. I bring us
Yeah.
in and Jack is taking us out, so I'm just
Yeah.
dropping Jack
Well,
to
he might be taking us out. Yeah, we'll see if I can pull this, if I can stick the landing here.
us
So after five or six hints from Sochal, now I'm going to take us out here. So let us know what you think about whether Harry Potter is a classic or not. You can send us an email at A to Z English Podcast at gmail.com. We'd love to hear your comments. You can k listen to this episode on all the major platforms, Apple Music, Spotify, countless other platforms that we're on. And yeah, we just really appreciate our listeners out there. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.